and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Printer, Virginia. This is show number 125, and today is Friday, May 17th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. First, I just want to apologize for my voice and potentially the sound quality of this. I have a cold and I'm at home. Rather than in my office, so I'm recording this on a slightly different microphone with a slightly coarse voice. So, apologies, but hopefully you'll bear with me and we can have a good show. All right, so the topic I'm going to talk about today is really just about, it's like our semi-annual discussion about pricing, about App Store, I guess, sales models and things, whether we should have trials, whether we should have update pricing. But the prices are too low, too high. It seems like we have this sort of the semi-annual discussion. And it is the thing that I was thinking about at this time that I thought was more interesting is I kept thinking about why we keep having this discussion. And I think that helped me think in some interesting and hopefully some useful sides to it that hopefully are going to be helpful to further the discussion, I suppose, or maybe put the discussion to bed. So first, the first thing I wanted to say is that any discussion about pricing, about the way we make money in the App Store, at its core, is always going to have to start from a place of deciding who should win in some ways. And by that I mean, whenever you set up a store, whenever you set up a market, maybe is a better term for it in this case, you're always kind of trying to optimize for different things. And so, you know, would you prefer there to be, for example, a small number of very well-paid developers? Or would you rather have a large number of developers all making less money? And these are the kinds of questions that you kind of have to navigate as you think about how would you set up a store. And I think, generally speaking, the approach Apple has taken, which I think makes sense, is that they're generally trying to set up the store to distribute the income as fairly as possible. And then that's fairly, you know, in some very vague sense of fairly, but in the sense that it's not creating monopolies or advantages for specific people as much as possible. Obviously, there are things that aren't perfect about that, but generally speaking, that's what they're doing. And the result of that, by having this kind of broad, open, fair market in many ways, is that has created tremendous competition. And competition is the thing that most often drives pricing in any market. And I think software, there are some aspects of software pricing and so the economics of making a software application that are unique to it. But for the most part, they're the same as the economics of almost any, you know, commercial business, anything that you do. Or your goal is to create a product and put it into the market and then sell it to recoup as much money as possible. I mean, that's the core of business, is to create something for less money than you are able to bring in, and the difference is the profit that you can live on. Like that's the core of business. And it's led to a market where in the App Store specifically, on iOS, I think there's, last time I checked, was about 875,000 apps in that market. And competition is a funny thing, because one of the more core, like, this is where I start to get into my, like, economics, which I'm not an expert on by any means, but sometimes I try and wear that hat, is that, you know, so the laws of supply and demand, that the more supply of something that there is, for a constant demand, that the price will tend to fall. And I think that's part of why App Store prices go down, is that there's a tremendous amount of competition. That there's, if you make an app that does anything, almost, it's probably already exists in the App Store. And there's probably more than one person who's already done almost the same thing in many ways. Like, there's just very few, with that many apps, there's very few new ideas. And I'm not saying that there aren't any, but there's a lot of things that are more just novel takes or remixes of existing ideas. And the other economic principle that comes into this a lot is the concept of marginal utility, which I think I'm abusing slightly there. Broadly, it's that for most competitive markets, the price of a product will tend towards its cost of production for the most recent unit. So that's to say, you know, if I'm making t-shirts, and maybe the first t-shirt cost a lot of money to make because I had to get the machines and all the stuff, But after I've been doing this for a long time and I have all this, you know, economies of scale, you know, my last t-shirt is costing me $2 to make, then the price of that t-shirt is probably going to be heading towards $2. And this gets particularly interesting with digital products, software being included, or ebooks or music, where the marginal cost becomes zero, essentially. Once I've built something and put it in the store, I have no additional costs in sort of to create and maintain that product, with the obvious exceptions of a few things like support and those types of things. But those are generally, the price gets low to a point that it becomes a kind of a rounding error per unit. And so those two things together are making it that the price is always going to be pulled down, that there is these external factors that are pushing on prices to make them as low as possible. And I think that's just the reality. And it's driven by the fact that the marginal cost is zero and it's an incredibly competitive market. But it's also probably fair to say it's a competitive market on a global scale, too. This is actually something that I ran into a couple of years ago. I was working on an app that very similar to someone else in the store. And we were working, and we were both doing pretty well. We were, you know, it's like we would kind of jockey back and forth for position, but we, you know, sort of really very comparable revenues, very comparable kind of positions in the store. And I believe he was based in Hungary, if I remember the author of the, you know, the competing app. And for the similar revenue that we were getting, I was supporting myself, one person in Virginia, in the, you know, the United States, a pretty expensive place to live. And I believe he was supporting a team of four or five people. And that is a complicated thing where you can say, you know, an app that makes whatever, you know, X dollars is unsustainable for you, for someone living in the U.S. or in Western Europe or whatever. But that may not be the case for someone who's living somewhere else in the world. They may look at an app that makes $5,000 a year and say, that's great. Because you know they're able to take advantage and leverage lower costs of living, lower costs of variety of tax rates, whatever it is. And so it's just understanding that all of these external factors are pushing on prices and pulling them down. So what do you do? And I think the first thing to understand is that if that's the case, there are very few things that Apple or anybody else could do that would raise the price of software in the store. And this is something that a lot of people have been talking about recently with, you know, things like trials, whether trials would raise the price of apps in the store or make it easier to sell more expensive software. And I think maybe the latter, definitely not the first. I don't think trials would increase the amount of revenue that most software developers make. If anything, and this is, I think, something that I think Marco Arment was talking about in his blog post about trials, is that you'd lose a lot of money from the people who are trying an app and are willing to pay for that trial, for the experience of exploring it and kind of consuming it. And you know, that can get into kind of an interesting question of whether that's a good thing, if it's good to take money from people who don't ultimately use your software. That's kind of more like an ethical question. But generally, I think for a lot of applications, you'd end up with actually a lot less revenue coming back from this. I mean, even just look at the Google Play Store, which has a trial system as well as, I think, the Windows Phone Store. They're not known for huge amounts of paid, high-cost software. There are certainly instances of that. But I don't think it's trials that's driving that. Trials may help for very expensive software, things where you're spending, you know, $50, $60, $100, $200, $300, $500. Using those types of things without a trial becomes much more intimidating. But generally speaking, I don't think trials would address that, because now all of a sudden you just have the same external factors pushing on prices in a context where customers can, you know, essentially spend less money for the same experience. And so, if anything, it would potentially reduce the amount of revenue that you'd get, because if you lose the kind of experiential sales, the people who are just trying it out, without being able to raise prices, which I really don't think you can, because of all the things I was just talking about, you'd have less money available. And also, one thing that is tricky about that is the App Store, as it is right now, is doing very well. And I think anybody who says that it isn't is kind of, you know, like I think they, what is it, they just celebrated, you know, their 550 billionth app download and, you know, it's a market that's growing well. There's a lot of people who are making their living from it. It's generating, you know, a solid amount of revenue for developers. Apple's, you know, every time, you know, I'm sure in a couple of weeks at WWDC, they'll have a big check that says, hey, you know, we've, since the App Store launched, we've given, you know, whatever, $N billion to developers. It's doing well. And anytime you change fundamentally that model, you have no idea exactly how that's going to happen. There's going to be all kinds of unintended consequences. There are going to be all kinds of strange things that come out of that that we may not be able to predict or may not like. It could be good, but generally speaking, as somebody who makes my living, who, you know, is paying my mortgage based on making a living in the store, generally I'd rather not change it. I'm able to, you know, adapt and coordinate my efforts based on a market that is fairly well understood at this point. It's something that's, you know, been, it's fairly mature, fairly established, you know, it's been going for 4 or 5 years now, and I can plan around that and give, you know, if Apple comes out and starts radically changing the way that store works, it could be good or it could be terrible, and that makes me nervous. And so then lastly, I just had kind of the broader thought, it's like, so what do you do then if you, for whatever reason, want to charge more for your software? Right? If that's something that's important to you. And I'm saying that not necessarily in wanting to raise your revenue, in that if for whatever reason you don't like making a living on, you know, 99 cents at a time. If, and then there are people who just, they'd rather make their living on a small, on smaller sales of bigger numbers. And that's totally cool. It's just a different sense kind of how you approach it. I mean, what I tend to actually have done is I try and go for all sides of everything. You know, I have some products that are expensive, some products that are cheap, some products that are free. And in aggregate, it creates a sustainable and, you know, dependable income. But if you're not, if that's important to you, the only thing that I could think of is that you, the only way you can charge a premium for in a competitive market with a lot of interchangeable products is to be viewed as a premium brand. And you can see this in a lot of areas where, in other markets where there are, clothes, cars, jewelry, whatever it is, there are brands who are people pay more for, not necessarily because they're getting their money's worth extra, but because they enjoy or trust or like the brand that they are supporting. You know, it's like people who are buying an expensive car aren't necessarily getting something that gets them from A to B better. In some ways it does, maybe, but it gets very difficult to start justifying all of the increase in costs, where what you're really buying is that experience, is the external parts of that. And so in order to do that, that's how you have to position yourself. I think that the reality is, if it's important for you to charge a lot of money, then that's the only way that you can really go at it, is you have to be a premium brand, which means you need to be incredibly high quality, you need to be incredibly polished and refined in terms of messaging, in terms of support, in terms of customer experience, in terms of all of the things that go around with that. Your design has to be 100%. You've got to have rock solid everything. And that's good, I suppose. But it's also not necessarily for everybody. There's a lot of effort and time that it takes. And the risk you take in doing that is also much higher. You know, if you, in order to create a premium product, it takes a premium amount of time, energy, and effort, which if you have the resources to do is great. But if you are someone who is independent, if you're someone who's smaller and starting out, that may not be a great or a sustainable path for you necessarily. You may pull a lot of time and effort into something and have it fall flat, which you hear too. So anyway, that's just kind of some rambling thoughts I had about pricing and about the economics of being in the store. And generally, like I think I've said many times, my approach right now, and the thing that I think is the most sustainable and dependable way to make a living in the App Store right now, is through diversity, is to make your living on averages, that you have a variety of things that are solid products that you put out that in aggregate can make a solid living for you. That's what I do, and that's what I've been doing for years, and it seems to work pretty well. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or complaints, I'm on Twitter @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet @DavidSmith. And otherwise, if you guys have a great weekend, happy coding, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.